Hello and welcome to the Women in Action Sports Network Conversation Space. I am Alba Pardo and today we're speaking with Katie Holden. Katie is originally from Half Moon Bay, California, and became a fixture on the race circuit for nearly 10 years, where she competed in local and national levels, in addition to World Cups and even urban races in South America. For Katie, racing allowed her to develop a sense of community, to push her limits, and to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, driven by a desire to explore unique terrain and discover new forms of motivation. Katie transitioned from racing to free riding almost 10 years ago, and her passion for women's free ride continues to fuel her up to this day. As the brainchild behind the Red Bull Formation, a week-long women's freeride camp, Katie hopes to elevate women's freeriding and to clear the path for the next generation of female freeriders. Currently residing in Bellingham, Washington, Katie is continuing to explore ways she can connect sports with places, people, and the global community. When she's not riding steep trails, creating vision boards, or collaborating with peers on formation, Katie often grounds herself literally by laying on the ground and letting the earth pull her back into the present moment. Today with Katie, we talk from being a very competitive professional mountain bike biker who used to see other women as a big competition to becoming one of the main figures on paving the path for the future of female freeride mountain bikers. She takes us through her journey as an athlete and as an advocate for the sport and female athletes, the reasons and the thinking behind formation, and an overview of the current status of the women's field. But she also talks about her lessons learned through injuries and evolving other pillars in her life, taking the conversation to her other project, Grow Cycling, which is creating the space for communities to flourish in whatever way they want to flourish by being able to show up as who they are and who they want to be and the kind of cyclist they want to be. Because in Kate's words, it doesn't matter what kind of cyclist you are. If you ride a bike, you're a cyclist. And that's all that matters. So without further ado, please meet Katie Holden. And thank you so much for having the time to talk to us today. Well, I read somewhere that you fell in love with mountain biking a bit, not on purpose.
Yeah, so my intro to mountain biking was quite random. I went to a small, basically like a magnet or a charter school growing up, and we had this week where there would be like a break from classes and teachers would take students to go do something like a trip or like a skill, like cooking, film festival, a sport, like an international trip, whatever. And when September 11th happened, my trip was canceled, right? And one of the only trips left with space was a bike trip, so I ended up on the bike trip. And prior to that, I had no interest in bikes. I didn't have a bike. Like, I knew nothing about bikes, but it was like a downhill specific focus camp, and it just blew my mind. And that was the beginning of it all.
Cool. So how do you go from that to actually competing and becoming a professional athlete?
Yeah. So I mean, if you kind of back it up, back in those days, there wasn't like social media or anything like that. So like the way to meet people was to go to events. Mm-hmm. So basically I was just like, I want to go to every mountain bike event I could find. Like I would like go to all the local events, and then I started going to like some of the national events, and then you expand outwards into international and all of that. But really, the competing portion was like the way to meet people. It was like events, and then there was like all the little forums, right? Where like, it's not like social media, but it was like people would like chat. So that's where you'd learn about things.
Yeah, it's different.
That and the Whistler Bike Park, like 2002 was my first year in the Whistler Bike Park, and Whistler Bike Park like played a really big role in my kind of development and not only skill, but like getting to know people in the community. And then like, it's definitely just a natural progression into racing and competing.
Absolutely. How did you, because now women competing in downhill and in the World Cup, and it's a more common thing. There's more and more women every season. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, and well, 10 years ago, there wasn't that many women. Mm-hmm. Did you used to train with men, and like, how did you team up? How did you progress yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the women's field is so stacked now. I feel like I would be so far back. I mean, it's so incredible to see just the level and the depth of talent. It makes me super excited. I will say that back, like in the beginning, I mostly rode with guys, and like the Whistler Bike Park is where I definitely spent the most time riding, and there weren't that many girls at that point in time. And so yeah, I was like friends with the girls, but I mostly rode with the guys. And I guess something like I could talk about a little bit later, but I felt like actually for quite a long time, like I would say like maybe like the first like third of my career, I felt like I was like almost like overly protective of that space, because like it didn't feel like there was space. And I feel like in a lot of ways, I know this is like an over generalization, but I feel like for a long time, like kind of women have been
looking like, over each other, or yeah,
like led to believe that there's only like so many seats at the table. Mm-hmm. And so you'd be kind of like protective of that. And I definitely felt like I was like that when I was racing, and particularly in like that first third of my career, like I said. But then Rebecca Rush, like who's been an important part of formation and all of that, she was like this, like came into my life and just like radically changed that viewpoint. And with that, like this whole, just like it completely changed the trajectory, I would say, of my career. Just like when I kind of like shifted that to creating more space and elevating others and just creating opportunities. Like it's not that there's limited seats. You just have to make more space, right?
Well, the space is there. You just need to grow it together, because it's easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also, if there's not, if someone is better for you, better than you, or better for a job or a sponsorship or whatever that is, like if that's like a great problem to have, like that there's like a talented people, and I feel like that's not, the opportunity is not meant for you, that like you should like elevate and lift it. Like the opportunities will come for you when they're right for you. But I think just like not holding on to those things too tight, and like if something's not right, like suggest someone that might be a better fit. You know what I mean? It all comes around.
Yeah, what goes around comes around. Absolutely. So talk to me about formation. Talk to me about what made you really push for it. I know you tried to qualify for Rampage. Mm-hmm. Didn't go quite well, or as you envisioned as first. But how do you feel that gave you now the opportunity to create formation?
Yeah, I mean, first I want to say there's been a lot of women over the years that have definitely made like big moves in the freeride space, and like there's a lot of women who have had dreams at competing at Rampage, so I'm certainly not the first or the only one in that regard. Like there's definitely been like it's been there, and it's like a very clear goal and target for a lot of people. I guess for my personal journey, it started back in like 2010, and I went out there for the first time, and I was a digger, and I was like totally freaked out, but equally inspired by the whole thing. And then I was like, just, I wanted to learn everything and do everything. And I kind of dedicated this big chunk of times for like I guess like the next 5 or 6 years to kind of pursuing that. And yeah, at the end of the day, like I didn't have what it takes. Like there's a lot of reasons why I didn't like succeed. I don't really consider it success or failure, because like all the formation stuff is like way bigger than whatever it would have been for me. Yeah. Plus like, so, I don't know. I don't really believe in like the failure thing. It's all kind of relative, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, and yeah, like there's like, honestly, like there's a lot of girls that are like more talented in that space, and I just had kind of like worked in all these different areas, and like I had learned a lot over that time period. And also kind of going back to what I said earlier about being protective of that space, I felt like one of my huge downfalls of that, where Rebecca had kind of like introduced this thing and I had changed all these other parts of my career to be inclusive, but I felt like I was like really protective and secretive of this dream. Cause I wanted it, and I like wanted it so bad for myself that I didn't really include other people. And ultimately, like, I think that is a contributing factor to like not achieving that in a lot of ways. But then fast forwarding to formation, like that dream kind of like never went away. Like I learned a lot, and I was always like, whether it's like for me or for someone else, like it was always there and present, but I didn't quite know how to make it come to life. And so yeah, in 2019, the stars aligned and connected with Red Bull, and it just went like, we made formation in like a matter of like 3 months. Like we just had our head down and we just did it.
That's crazy when you think of that. And so now the first one's done, and you don't only have the experience of being at Rampage and being in Utah and that terrain and all of your careers as a professional and competing and so on. You already have one formation in your experience in the books. And so it's already proved now that women can write that, that the level's there, that the skill is there, that the determination is there. How do you go towards the second event? What's the goal now? Because the goal, I guess, in the first one was to show the world that women could do this. But now it's done. So what's the goal of the next events?
Yeah, so I guess kind of taking a step back for a second, you look at kind of like just this context, like Casey Brown made like some seriously big moves. She's probably like the most talented woman to come out of the freeride space. She's just incredible. But Casey is always kind of like the outlier in that space. And when you're one, it's like really hard to make the splash it needs, like that tipping point, right? To, as one person, it's hard to like get to that point. So when the opportunity of formation presented itself, we like in my heart and in my gut, I knew that it had to be like perfect. Like this is one shot. We had like this investment by all of these people and Red Bull and like once in a lifetime opportunity and support to pull this off. And like, it felt like if we didn't do it right, it would like, it's not to say that it wouldn't ever happen, but it would definitely be set back a long time.
It's a lot of pressure to showcase women in a way that's never been done before.
Yeah. So when the athletes were selected, I wanted to pick women that were just incredible athletes. I picked, you know, there's a lot of women out there on the slope style side, but I thought for this like first iteration, I wanted to pull from more of like the downhill racing side, that they're on the more progressive side of like the downhill racing side, and they do some tricks, but their background is in racing, because with racing comes like a really good understanding of bike control and like incredible technical handling skills, and like really like they're like cool, calm, and collected, and can dial in the mental aspect, and they're used to hitting big jumps, and they're used to dealing with pressure, and they also just like can like really lean into the occasion and like step it up when there's pressure on. And so when we were kind of getting that first initial group, like it felt like this like really kind of like obvious powerhouse group of women that would approach this terrain and just like ride it with so much speed and style and power, and like they would look like they belong on that terrain, and there would be no doubts that they could ride the terrain. And that's exactly what, like, just seeing them out there, you're like, obviously they can ride it, like look at they look so good when they ride it. So yeah, just like having that kind of like rice or that right combo of recipe or sorry right like recipe of riders for that first iteration was like, that was the tipping point to just show like the true potential of how well women could ride that terrain.
Are you looking into mixing up things a little when it comes to riders for the second edition?
Yeah, so it's definitely important, I think, for the future iterations to kind of blend experience and fresh talent. It's particularly in that terrain where it's just like a whole nother animal, that kind of blend of experience and personalities and styles is really like a big contributing factor to the success. So we have 4 returning athletes and then 4 new athletes.
Okay, wow. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we also have 2 alternate athletes as well, which is like, was pretty cool to be able to kind of put them in the queue, like definitely like athletes that we'd like to see out there in the future. One of which is Alma. She's in Sweden.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's second alternate.
Good. Do you always envision it as a small event? Like, you know, when we're talking about 8 athletes, mm-hmm. that's not very many. Is that on purpose to keep the group together? I feel like it's such a big open terrain with so many possibilities that you could have an endless amount of girls there. But why do you choose to limit it so much?
Well, there's a number of reasons. We're definitely growing. And I think that at this, even looking from 2019 to now, like the talent pool is so much deeper, but like, I guess formation doesn't have to be like, I guess, I don't know if this is like the right way to phrase it, but like formation isn't necessarily meant to be like the catch-all for all things free ride. It's just, it's like a high watermark or a target. So having that as a target, like, I don't think that it makes sense to have like tons of riders. Like, you even look at, like, I don't want to compare us to Rampage because we're not Rampage, but Rampage has 21 riders, right? And the men's field, they're like 20 years ahead of us, right? So I think that it's kind of selecting athletes that you think are going to like perform the absolute best in that terrain, and then continually making space and opportunities for like that rising talent. And like, hopefully our numbers will grow each year. But in contrast, or I don't want to draw comparisons to Rampage, because it's not Rampage. It's like not a competition. It's really a progression session. So that kind of like group dynamic and that camaraderie is like a really big part of it. And as soon as the group keeps getting bigger, like, you lose a bit of that.
Yeah. The connection. Have you learned in the past edition or through your experience as well that women learn a bit different than men do? Like, you said yourself that you used to write with men basically mm-hmm. all the time, and that you were protective of that space. I think that's happened, or that can be understood for many other sports that are male dominated in its nature or in its origin. Do you find in mountain biking as well that the learning is different for women? Like we are competitive and we can be competitive, mm-hmm. but at the same time, sometimes a progression session where you push each other mm-hmm. benefits everyone more than a so-called competition.
Yeah, I think that, well, I would say, I mean, all the women in the lineup, and I would say like most of the women in the mountain bike community have guys that they ride with, and like the guys have definitely been like a big part of their progression and all these different building blocks in their career. So the guys have definitely been an important part of that process. But I do think that it's like when you see, like, think back to a race and like there's like a jump or like a tricky feature that is on the course, and like everyone's kind of looking at it, and you see some of the guys do it and you're like, oh, they like make it look real like
easy.
They make it look so easy that it's kind of like hard to see yourself doing it. But then as soon as a girl does it, all the girls do it. Like it's kind of like having that like
model.
That model where people can just like vibe off of each other is really powerful, and not compete with each other. Like even in 2019, all of those girls had competed against each other for years. And so to be in a collaborative space where they're like working together and building lines and pushing each other, like collectively as a group, like that was a really powerful thing to witness, I guess.
Yeah, also the the group and the opportunity, you know, like sometimes you don't see women in those spaces or in those super high events. But I actually didn't know, but I was reading that actually Rampage was never limited to men only. That women were allowed, they just never qualified. Mm-hmm. But then a bit like you tried, someone else tried and never quite made it, so you never thought it was possible. And you know, yeah, the general public, that's not a possibility. It's kind of like it falls out of the possibility window. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I feel like having opportunities is what brings women to the next level, and definitely mm-hmm. formation and other progressing sessions like this is what's driving it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Well, all I was just going to say is like, I think that it's almost like this like little, like almost like a little incubator. Like, as I mentioned before, Rampage has all these years of history, and like the guys have been doing this for a really long time. And it's great. They've done like a lot of incredible things, and we just kind of need some of the like the space and the resources and just like the opportunity to catch up, and having this kind of like small group that's much like an incubator is a big opportunity to like make really big strides and progression with like a very like focused, well thought out environment, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. It's making the first steps and creating that opportunity that others didn't even think was there. Since the first event, have you seen any change in the female scene, like the riders and other athletes and other things happening that want to not mimic, but support and sort of, you know, as a continuation of that, if you put formation at the top for that, you know, the goal, have you seen other things going since then?
Well, the field is like, it's deepened so much. There's so many girls, and that's definitely not like all attributed to formation. There's just like a lot of momentum within the space right now, but yeah, like over the last 18 months, like just that talent pool has just deepened exponentially. So I would say that is kind of what, that's definitely one ripple effect. There's definitely more space for, I would say, space and opportunities like to pursue freeride as an actual career. Like Hannah Bergman was, she essentially came into formation as like this dark horse that no one had heard of. And like, she was working at the bike shop and like, she's an incredible rider, but like freeride wasn't a space to pursue, right? Or, like there was an opportunity. And now she's sponsored by Red Bull and she, like she's a free rider, like as a job. And Sam Soriano, who's one of the athletes this year, she signed a free ride contract with Canyon, and she's a free ride athlete now. So having space and like legitimate career channels where the women are paid and they can do their job as a free ride athlete, like that's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, and let's bring that back to you a little bit. So, okay, you're an athlete, you compete, you do downhill races and you do so for what, 10 years?
Yeah, I raced for about 10 years.
Okay, so how do you see being a professional athlete when you started, and how do you see being a professional athlete now? What has changed? What has stayed?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really tough to make it as a, like make a career as a professional mountain bike athlete, as a woman. And I don't say that to, it's not meant
in a whiny way. No, I
can't. In a whiny way at all, but it's just like, as a fact, it's like very difficult. I definitely struggled with that when I was racing. I definitely had jobs, and I like, it's definitely a bit of a juggling thing. When Liv picked me up in 2013, that was like my first like full on like legit athlete contract, where it was like I could just focus on that as a career. And that was like that, like prior to that, I felt like it was just like a constant juggling of things. Right. And that was like a huge opportunity. And that, when there's that, when you have that kind of space, then you can really like strengthen all these other pillars, right? That are important parts of being an athlete. So, I mean, an athlete's not just solely riding your bike. There's like the social aspect. There's like the business aspect. There's like kind of like the public speaking, media, like representative part of being an athlete. There's like the project idea. There's like the travel agent. Like there's all these different things. So it's like, once you can kind of focus on like building that, like you can make so much progress when you can just focus on being the best that you can within that athletic space.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think that has changed as well? Like it's gone from like you had to be really good at that sport and you had to be number one and winning and, you know, being an outstanding talented athlete, and now more and more so you have so much power again with social media and media and all the channels that are at the tip of your fingers. You become role models.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that that's an added pressure that's grown over the years as well throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a bit, it's kind of a double-edged sword, and that it's like definitely there's huge advantages, and there's a lot of really positive things that go with that, but then there's also like things that are really hard. I mean, just the social media and knowing what to say and being kind of at the forefront and always having to respond to something and kind of like up your game that's a lot of pressure. But on the contrary, for someone that doesn't want to just solely focus on winning races, like they want to pursue free ride and they want to show clips of all their riding, they want to do all this, like that's such a huge opportunity and space to really thrive in and create a career within that space. Like right now there's not too many spaces. Like there's space in the media is still like growing, in the particularly if we're talking the women's free ride scene. Like I hope we see more space within the media side, but the fact that we have eyes and visibility on all this talent and they can kind of flourish and build careers, even if it's at this moment through social media, that's definitely, I feel like we're moving in the positive direction.
That's great. So talking a bit about those transitions, so you started as a competitive athlete and doing the races, and that's a bit of an easier concept to understand when you say I'm a professional athlete, I compete in the World Cup circuit. How is your transition, and also for sponsorship and so on, you know, to make it financially viable, how do you transition from that to a free ride career? Like that's the unwalked or the less transited path, isn't it? And also for female, that's an added level to that.
I think that, I guess there's two ways to approach this. I would say like kind of the first is that it's like a bit, I feel like entering the free ride space or like kind of entering the industry, like as a trajectory for like career as an athlete, having the race background is kind of like, is like almost like the education system of like kind of learning the ropes, like learning the industry, the different people, the media, like how things are covered.
And the skill.
The skill, like adapting to race courses every weekend. Like that's definitely a huge help into like the segue for your career. I mean like you learn a lot racing every weekend. But that's not to say that like that's the only path now, but I think that kind of so for athletes that are entering from the free ride side, I think that there's definitely opportunity to kind of like bridge a gap in some of that knowledge that would be acquired on the race side. That's like quite helpful to having a long successful career and also having balance within that and making sure that those that are coming on the free ride side get that in one form or another. And it doesn't have to be the same or anything, but like that stuff that I feel is important to creating like a long successful balanced career.
Also, a thing that really interests me, and I think about it a lot, is how when, you know, you're a top athlete and you've done all this journey of from competitive to free ride to filming to being in so many projects and so on, but it's also always been centered in your body, in your skill, in your athletic capacity in such an extreme sport. The transition to the after athlete sort of, I mean, I when I talk to you guys, I always consider you athletes because, you know, I think one's an athlete, always an athlete, but there's definitely a point where you don't have to retire per se, because I think you'll always have a bike under your arm, But how do you approach that transition, and how do you leave it? What makes you say, okay, I had enough of that, now I'm going to do something else? Is it like a breakup, or is it more like a progressive transition and already finding ways to sustain yourself and keep involved to what you like?
For my personal journey, I felt like it's been like a really, just kind of, like a natural evolution or progression, in that you like do something specifically for like a finite period of time, and you put a lot of energy into it, and you come into that space like being a beginner or like not knowing that much, and then you go through that whole process, and then by the time you get to the end of that block, you've kind of feel like you, I don't know if you mastered's the right word, because I feel like I'm never a master of anything, but you learn so much about that specific block. And then it's like, you get to a point where you don't feel like you're like growing or progressing or evolving at like to a degree that you want to keep, that feels good or natural, or like, it feels like, I don't know. I feel like there's like a very natural feel, or like a time when you kind of approach that, and then it's like a super scary leap to kind of like be okay with closing that and then making space for the next one. But I think that the making space part is like the most important thing. Like, what I'm trying to say is if you have like too much on your plate at any one period of time, then you can never make space for
focus,
whatever that next thing is going to be.
Yeah, you can't grow it. Mm-hmm.
If you kind of rewind a little bit into like the whole mind space of an athlete, I think that just as like an observation, I feel like one of the biggest kind of pieces of advice, I guess I would give to like any young, or not, it doesn't even have to be young, but like athlete growing, is just to create balance and like have other interests and like be constantly growing all these different kind of pillars of your career, so that like an injury happens, and that's, we all get injured and that's part of it, but like take that for what it is and like use that opportunity to make your body stronger and kind of like rebalance, and then you work on growing one of your other pillars at that time period. And it's always just kind of
so it doesn't have to be a full stop.
No, it I mean, I had like a lot of my like biggest growth periods during injuries, just because you're kind of you have the space to like think about other things and work on other things. But I also think that having balance and just like having other interests and like consciously working on like growing those other things, it puts a lot less pressure on like the actual like performance as an athlete, because it doesn't feel like all of your eggs are in one basket, if that makes sense.
Yeah, keeping your possibilities and your options open, I suppose.
It's not to say that you're not focused or like that's your core interest, but it's like,
how could you have a plan B?
I think Kate Courtney like says it quite, I listened to an interview with Kate Courtney recently, and I thought that she said it, the way she said it was like super, well, she said it just like in a good way. You know, she went to Stanford while she was an athlete, and she did all of these, like Kate has a lot going on, but like by having those other things, she's still training and like at the very, very top of her sport, but it doesn't put so much pressure that if you like lose a race, it, you feel like it's the end of the world, right? It's
another
part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Another topic that I'd like to talk to you also, because I was reading an interview where you're talking about it, it's this equality and inclusion. Mm-hmm. equality when it comes to women competing and women not competing and women within the sport, but also inclusion for them and not only women, but other groups within the biking world.
Mm-hmm.
What is it right now, where we are at now when it comes to equality into the, what do you understand for it, and where we do, where are we?
Well, I think in this past year, there's definitely been, this past year has like really initiated a lot of conversations in that space. And I think the general recognition from everyone is that there is a lot of work to do, but a lot of work to do, there has to be action to support the wanting to do a lot of work, right? So, yeah, I mean, I guess that it, at its most basic form, creating space and opportunity for people is so incredibly important. If you look at formation in this space, like creating that space and opportunity is incredibly important. And that goes the same for like the queer and trans community and the BIPOC community and all, like we have to like very intentionally create space and opportunities in everything that we do, because representation is so important that if you don't see someone like you in that space, it's really hard to envision it. And I mean, I don't want to compare formation to that. I don't want to draw parallels in regards to like anything within the diversity space, because it's not meant to be disrespectful in any shape or form, but just like looking within the context of formation itself, if creating that representation, not just with one woman, but with six women, and creating like all these girls see people that they want to be like, and now there's space and opportunity to pursue that. And that is really in all aspects of our industry, like the mountain bike industry and the action sports community as a whole. I hope that people kind of, I guess, take note and recognize like how important it is that there is representation across the board.
Yeah, we deserve the opportunity and we deserve to see ourselves, to dream that we can be there.
Exactly.
Recently, this year as well, actually, I don't know if you follow the Natural Selection Tours, this snowboarding competition, Travis did, and so
on. Yeah.
And it was the first time that women were involved in an event like that.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And, you know, it's mind-blowing. And and then you kind of sit down and think, why hasn't this happened before? Like, of course, there's good riders that can do it. Like, why weren't we there before? And it's all about this opportunity and representation. And I'm sure, you know, this has now opened the doors for many more things to come, the same with formation. I really hope so. I mean, we're already seeing like other progression sessions, as you call it, like future grants in New Zealand. From riders that really look up to you and you know, reach out to say, hey, what do you think about this? But also, you're also part of this, let me get it right, Grow Cycling, sorry, so many things.
Yeah.
The Grow Cycling, it's a non-profit for equality within in the biking. Tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, so I co-founded the Grow Cycling Foundation with Elliot Jackson last June, and kind of, I guess, going back to like all the things I can mention is just like creating space and opportunities in the mountain bike community. So those, it was, we initially, like we were really inspired to grow the, from the BIPOC community, but it really, I mean, it transcends also, like I said, into the trans community and the queer community and these spaces too, that like, there's space for people, and we want to be able to create representation, career paths, opportunity. And it's not, I think a big part of that is creating the space so that the communities can like grow how they want to grow and how they want to show up, and not kind of like forcing what our community is right now, that like that's what how it has to be. It's creating the space for communities to like flourish in whatever way that they want to flourish, and that's an incredible thing that they can show up who they are and who they want to be and the kind of cyclist they want to be, because it doesn't matter what kind of cyclist you are. If you ride a bike, you're a cyclist, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and it's seen all over the world, you know, everybody uses a bike for either necessity or hobby. What I specifically liked about the Growing Cycling Foundation was the part that it explained how you want to tackle different pieces, not only providing gear mm-hmm. for those that don't have it, but also educate them in a safe way and provide the space. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really insightful way to approach this as an inclusion.
It's kind of like, you kind of think of it as like a flywheel, where you have these different pillars, and once the wheel starts going, as long as they, like there's bridges between each of those components, then it can kind of keep going. But if you kind of just go to one step in the wheel, then if there's not like this space, or it doesn't feel safe, or I mean, there's so many different barriers, but like if there's not that bridge from one step of the wheel to the next, then bridge, so to speak, like it's easy for someone just to kind of get spit out of the industry and never come back. And we want to create a really welcoming community where people want to stay, and like I said, they show up just who they are, and they ride the bike how they want to ride the bike. They do them.
so far in this project, what's your biggest takeaway? What's the most inspiring thing you have learned so far?
There's so many learnings, but I don't know. I think that if you kind of look at all the things that we've talked about as a whole, it's just, I always go back to the idea of representation and how important it is. Like representation is so important. And if there's not representation, like why is someone going to want to be in that space or feel welcome or kind of like have something to aim for, right?
Yeah, and that kind of wrapped things up nicely to what I wanted to talk about to you last. And it's this drive you show and really embrace of clearing this path for other women to follow, and how inspiring that is. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us watching and following you. You know, like it's really inspiring to see women that are really driving, and they're really putting in the effort and the work and the time to make sure it doesn't end with them. And despite, and now it actually means even more after hearing you say that you were so protective of that space at one given point in your career, and to see now that this is what you've made of your career, it's super inspiring. What would be your advice or your encouragement to other women or to other people that want to be part of this movement and keep it going?
Well, first of all, I mean, thank you. Those are really nice words. I feel like it's like there's been so many incredible women, and I mean not just women, just people in my career that have like really like extended hands and opportunities and taught me so many lessons along the way, and I feel like I all owe all of that to them. I think that I like to just to borrow the words from Rebecca Rash, who, like I said, she's been one of my biggest mentors. And like from the beginning, she always really just instilled this idea of lift as you rise. So it's not just like you're always thinking about how like your action is going to create more space for like how one positive action, like how it can lift everything related to it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that there's, I don't know if that's saying like the most articulate way, but basically, yeah, I think it's just not, this sounds kind of like cheesy, this sounds super cheesy to say, but I think I listened to this in like a Brené Brown podcast, and it like totally totally resonated with me. And so I'm pretty sure it was Brené Brown that I heard this from, but basically the idea is like to not operate or live your life out of a place, out of scarcity, because if you're always scared of scarcity, then like there's never, like you're never going to be happy, there's never enough. But like living that out of a place of opportunity and like whatever it is that you want, there's plenty of. So it's just kind of like rephrasing that, and all these kind of things that I did over the course of my career that I felt like were like these kind of, I don't know, like weird growing pains, right? Like I felt like a lot of those came out of a fear of scarcity. And as soon as I got past that, like I felt like I like really started to make big growth.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time to do this. And we're going to be watching, we're going to be supporting. And
thank you so much.
I'm sure it's going to be great. Another great edition of Formation.